hear the sound of a mighty rushing wind.
Welcome to Issues of Life on Spirit 88.3 FM. 60 minutes of news, prophecies, music, and the Word every Saturday from 8 to 9 p.m. Get revived, inspired, motivated, and warned about the times you're living in. Prophecies of old are unfolding right before our eyes every day. Verses in the Bible are today's headline news. Don't be ignorant, but be an informed believer. Join Brother Eben for the next 60 minutes and be blessed. Get this edition and others from spiritissues.info.
We'll be going home.
Good evening to all listeners. Thank you for tuning in. This is Eben. It's always a privilege to come your way. I'll be with you from now till 9 p.m. And today is, they say, is Valentine's Day, so for those celebrating it, greetings to you. And we thank God. I thank the various listeners, those who sent messages to me yesterday on my birthday. Appreciate it. And yeah, yesterday was my birthday. Okay, so well. Thanks to all the messages that came. Well appreciated. All right, so tonight I'm dealing with the news, and then we continue with what I started talking about beyond the fasting and prayers. And yeah, we'll deal with it today. The news is a bit shorter, so I can have some time to deal with it a bit. And then, yeah, that's it. Let's see how things go in the rain. All right. So, greetings to listeners wherever, online and wherever they are. Okay. This week, let me start with the trending things this week, or the trending thing. The so-called Russia, we call it the Russia gate. This Russian who can come and deceive Ghanaian ladies. And I was asking myself, how many of these girls will claim to be Christians? I will not be surprised if majority will say they are Christians. You know, we have a problem. We have a real problem. And it's unfortunate how the society is normalizing what is wrong. As if it's normal. I mean, it's just normal to misbehave. But see, we cannot make what is wrong right. And the fact that everybody is doing something does not make it right. And, you know, I have a little lesson and a little warning for the Christian ladies who are listening to this program this evening. You know, I'm talking from the issue of the cybersecurity aspects and all that, that people should be careful about the times we are in, the deception through the various devices. You know, the camera he was using was a spectacle. I mean, he's wearing the specs and the camera is in. So they didn't see he was recording them. You know, and this is the issue. People don't know a lot of things happening, but technology is way advanced now. So many things. So, you know, I mean, look at the embarrassment. You are walking at the mall, he records with the spectacle. So those who were just following him, all these recordings. Because if there are some who, if they saw him holding a camera and recording, they would not have followed him. But because they didn't see that the spectacles is recording, they followed, thinking, oh, nobody sees. But now look at the embarrassment and the disgrace and all. You know, so we are in times where deception is high. Especially when it has to do with online related, so as we call it, the cyber related things, deception is really high now. People should not be so naive about these things. People should not just be ignorant. And people should learn to be content with whatever little they have. And it's unfortunate, but these are the realities, the times we are in. People who are just exploiting others just for whatever gain, and that's it. It's very unfortunate. It's very unfortunate. But, you know, we were chatting about, talking about this before this program with Pakwesi. And, I mean, my point is simple. I don't have any pity for the girls caught up in this embarrassing thing. I don't, because they are not children. They are not children. But it would be unfortunate if a Christian, quote unquote, a Christian was caught in this trap as well. But why should you allow yourself to be caught in it, in such a thing? Because a white man says, follow me, and you just follow. No. I mean, people should learn to be, you know, to use their brains, excuse me to say, in some instances. And this is one of such instances where I think it's very unfortunate. And I will not be surprised it can still happen again. Yes, because it seems people are just not learning. But at least I don't believe people who listen to a program like this should fall victim to such things at all. All right, so let's get into some news. Pentagon prepares second aircraft carrier to deploy to the Middle East. And it's a bit serious because, you know, normally when an aircraft carrier is moving, it's not just one ship. It's a whole, they call it armada, a whole group of ships. I mean, so it can be sometimes about 18 ships or 16, 15 ships, like the assault ones all moving together with the big aircraft carrier. So it's like it's a whole troop movement. And the first has moved already, is there already, and now second is going. That means troop movement is quite huge. But then the next news headline, over 100 U.S. Air Force C-17 aircraft headed to Middle East, and that is even more worrying because the C-17 is their biggest military cargo planes, which, I mean, carry both equipment and humans, and they are huge, very huge. I mean, so if they are moving over 100 of the C-17, then it means a lot of things and a lot of movement is happening towards the Middle East. And this number has not been seen since the Desert Storm, when the U.S.-Iraq war, those years back. So all this is because of Iran, the U.S.-Iran. They are still in talks anyway, hoping nothing will happen. But while they are doing the talking, the U.S. is doing movements. So that's where the worry is. And the next news item even gives a more stark description of the reality. U.S. urges American citizens to leave Iran now, ahead of high-stakes talks with Tehran. And I wonder, if you're an American citizen and all this while you are still in Iran, then you are really some way. The U.S. Virtual Embassy in Iran issued a security alert early Friday, that's yesterday, urging American citizens to leave Iran now and prepare departure plans that doesn't rely on U.S. government assistance. The notice comes ahead of U.S. and Iran scheduled talks in Oman on Friday, with little indication that the two sides have found common ground over the agenda of the meeting. The U.S. has issued several similar security alerts over the past month. The embassy last urged American citizens to leave the country in a warning on January 14th, as Trump was weighing options for a possible intervention in Iran, including targeted military strikes. So if you are still there now, then. But the bottom line is, it looks like they are beating the war drums a bit louder now. Well, no one hopes for war. No one wishes for war. But sometimes, some of these things, nobody can stop it. But you see, when this occurs, it shouldn't do, but when it does occur, the ripple effects can be very devastating, because if U.S. does attack Iran, I don't think Russia will sit down quietly and watch. I don't think China will be quiet and watch. There's one thing that is obvious. Iran will also try to attack Israel, and Israel will also not sit down. They will also go in hard and strong. And the Middle East will be something else. Automatically, one thing is assured. fuel prices will skyrocket worldwide. And when it happens, then the effects, we can feel it. We'll feel it here. No, we can. We'll feel it here. So some of these things, it's not like, oh, somebody's decision somewhere is a bad case. No, all these things, any actions and reactions that follow, we'll feel it here in our country. So these are things that should be a bit of a worry to everyone. Okay, then we have Church of England General Synod votes against blessing same-sex marriage after a long debate. My issue is, should this even be debated at all by a church? It shouldn't even be talked about in the first place, let alone to vote over it. But here we are, 2025 or 2026, sorry. A church is voting over whether to bless same-sex marriage or not to bless same-sex marriage. How? So the Church of England's General Synod has voted to end plans for stand-alone blessing ceremonies for same-sex couples in churches after extended debate. The decision also closes a years-long process that had examined whether such ceremonies could be introduced. Members this week approved a motion from bishops to conclude the living in love and faith process and halt further work towards permitting special services for same-sex couples in civil marriages, the Telegraph reported. The votes followed hours of discussion and confirmed that agreements between conservative and liberal factions had not been reached. The synod supported forming new working groups on relationships, sexuality, and gender to continue discussion in the future rather than advancing the blessing ceremonies now, according to Church Times. So they've not, and they are still going to talk about it for the future. Okay. No. All right, then we have court hears case of female student facing 10 years in prison for transphobic social media posts. A Brazilian student who's facing 4 to 10 years in prison over social media comments about gender identity appeared before a federal court this week. The hearing addressed whether the posts constituted criminal transphobia under Brazilian law. Judicial questioning during the session this week focused on whether the statements were published from the defendant's own social media account, and the judge indicated the content appeared to reflect personal opinion rather than a discriminatory intent, whilst granting the defense 5 days to submit written conclusions before any ruling, according to a legal advocacy group, ADF International. The prosecution concerns two post published in November 2020 on X, then Twitter, where the student Isadora Bonges stated that transgender women, quote, were obviously born male, unquote, and wrote that a person who identifies as transgender retains their birth DNA and that surgery, hormones, and clothing do not change that fact. Of course, this is the truth. You know, this world, we've got it to a point where what is truth is, you say the truth and it's like, what did you say? It's not the truth. So because it's not the truth, we don't believe it's the truth. Then you've committed a crime. But this is the fact and this is the truth. Just because they have a law there that they can twist to make it look like what you said is a crime. But what is the... what is criminal about this? If you are born a boy or a male and later in your ages you think you feel like you are a female, so you change through surgery to become a female, your DNA has not changed. They just removed your body parts and realigned some body parts to make you that way. But internally you are who you are. So what you wear and the chemicals you take and all that doesn't change the reality. This is what this girl said. And now she's being dragged to court. Oh, this world is then something else. All right. And then the last news item for tonight, and then we'll be done so we can talk more. Fewer than a third of churchgoers read the Bible daily. This is in the US, but this is very, very, very serious. Fewer than one in three Protestants who attend church services at least once a month read the Bible on a daily basis, according to a recent report from Lifeway Research. A report published Tuesday based on the Lifeway Research State of Discipleship study found that 31% of Protestant churchgoers read the Bible every day. 31%. That means if you take 10, only 3 read the Bible every day. Whilst 30 do so a few times a week. Additionally, 14% of respondents said they read the Bible once a week. 11% said they engage in it a few times a month. 5% said they only read it once a month. Whilst 9% said they rarely or never do so. According to Lifeway, the Bible reading rates have gone up compared to past years. For example, in 2007, only 16% of respondents said they read the Bible daily, whilst in 2012, it was 19%. So Scott McNeil, executive director of Lifeway Research, was quoted in the report as noting that the number of daily Bible readers has remained fairly steady since 2019. The portion of churchgoers reading the Bible a few times a week or more on their own has leveled off recently after rising dramatically since 2007. But the churchgoer population has also changed during this period, said McConnell. A lower percentage of Americans attend a Protestant church once a month today than the series of studies when the series of studies began. Clearly, the remnant of Americans attending church each month are more willing to regularly read the Bible on their own than when churches were more populated. Data for the report came from an online survey of 2,130 Protestant churchgoers conducted in March 19th to 26th, 2025, with a margin of error of plus or minus 2.21% at the 95 confidence level. The report also found that 74% of Protestant churchgoers said the Bible has authority over every area of their lives, whilst 15% of the respondents were unsure and 11% disagreed. Additionally, 72% of respondents found themselves thinking about biblical truth throughout the day, whilst 19% were unsure and 10% disagreed. In a 2019 report, Lifeway Research found that 32% of regular churchgoers read their Bible on a daily basis, whilst 27% said they read scripture a few times a week, 12% said they rarely never read the Bible. So rarely to never read the Bible. So those are 12%. And regarding the 2019 study, Dirk Smith, vice president of the Bible Distribution Ministry, Eastern European Mission, said in an opinion piece published by the Christian Post last year that he believed the numbers were because of the culture we've built around distraction, quick fixes, and shallow spirituality. We take the Bible for granted and allow ourselves to unwind by doom scrolling, only to increase anxiety and depression levels, he added. The consequences are undeniable. Weak churches, weak Christians, weary Christians, and a restless society reaching for peace in all the wrong places. The growing churches in America right now aren't the ones with the flashiest worship teams or trendiest branding. They are the ones that open the Bible and teach it line by line, verse by verse, book by book. You know, I keep saying, and I'll repeat it again, if we are to do this kind of surveys in Ghana, I dare say we may have even less if care is not taken. Because people don't read the Bible. No. People don't read the Bible. People don't have time to read the Bible. You know, the time that people used to have to read the Bible is all being used for scrolling, watching TikTok, Instagram, you know, videos online, just scrolling. Then it's like there's a crisis indeed. There's a crisis. We've been distracted. We are being distracted from what is important in life. And it's all about things that are making us feel good on the spot, which, you know, we call like the dopamine effect, like the brain chemical that secretes in the brain, the chemical of happiness, let me put it that way. So just as a drug user pushes the drug and feels good, that short blip, that short feel good season, that's how the social media and the scrolling thing is. And actually, it's been proven by neuroscientists, the same effect. So just as people take drugs and they feel good, it's the same way when people are on TikTok and they are watching these short videos and all that, they feel that feel good that people have. That dopamine effect is the same as the drug user. And it's quite worrying because at the end of the day, it's like that, and because of that, that's where addiction comes in. So now you have to feed it. You want to feel good. Oh, let me just go and scroll. So you scroll, watch short videos, scroll. Then, so this is what is making some people feel good unconsciously. This is an unconscious action. So people are doing these acts unconsciously, but this is where they get their satisfaction during the day. During the night, in bed, they will scroll till they sleep. So, years back, that people, these same people, some will be reading their Bible before they sleep. Now, they will scroll, watch short videos, just feel good. And I believe we really have to be concerned about these things. You know, I talk about these things so that listeners can appreciate the reality of the times we are in, the effects and the harm these things are causing us, so that at least people can know what to do to help themselves. And those who are in the position to help others too can know about it to help, you know, especially parents helping their children and all that. You know, the reports are not good. I mean, I keep seeing the reports all the time. They are not good. They are not getting better. You know, it's unfortunate, but it's not only Ghana. It's a general issue. This evening I read one report, one university in the U.S., the professor was complaining that that particular university, a quarter, 24%, or is it 25% or 24%, I mean, almost similar, of fresh graduates or freshers, like first year, are quitting. Because they can't cope with the university life. And see, this is a problem because when they did the analysis, these were the people who started this group, those who are struggling in the university now, those, you know, COVID eras when they were in high school or like pre-high school era and online, you know, this digital learning online thing, and they are seeing that it's having an effect. They are seeing it, you know. So the reality is out there. We cannot deceive ourselves that these devices are helping us. No. They are not helping us. Oh no, it's rather causing harm. And parents need to understand it and do something about it. That's why I keep talking about these reports on this program over and over and over again. And to help us, the leaders, church leaders, pastors, deacons, elders, you know, some of these things should be addressed at the women's fellowship, youth meetings. See, it should be talked about. The church cannot pretend all is well. All is not well. In as much as the spiritual things are being addressed and all from the pulpits and everything, there's this undercurrent that is undermining all the spiritual good work going on. And this undercurrent of the devices, the internet, the scrolling, the social media, the videos and all, it is destructive. It's destroying the good values. So it's like you are, as a pastor is building, you are building the church, you are building their lives, the youth and adults, you are building, doing your best and all. And then somebody too is undermining the building you are putting up, build what you are doing, being undermined. Eventually, the building will crumble and come down. And that's what is happening. These hidden and silent killers, as I'll call them, are not being spoken about, but they are destroying lives. They are destroying the youth. They are making them, I don't know the right word to use, but the harm is being caused. Let me put it that way. The harm is being caused. So, parents and listeners, adults, whoever, let's not fall into this trap. If you are in the trap already, there's a way you can still come out of it. All right. I'm Eben. The program is Issues of Life. And let me play the song. I will be back. And all right. So this is an old Maranatha music song.
Joy and in pain, your cry for mercy echoes my name. Now and forever, I'll be at hand. I will be with you, I will be with you, for that's who I am. Your side, your prayer for deliverance will not be denied. I'll fight the battle that evil might wage. Oh, I will be with you, I will be with you till the end of the I'm never sorry.
Hey, Frank, you needed me to give you some numbers for your deadline today?
Bob, yeah, I'm so glad you're here. Here, let me pull up the report.
Okay, make it quick. I've only got about 5 minutes.
Yeah, hold on. Let me check that. Oh, that's my boss's number. I'll call him later. Okay, I need the sales figures for the last quarter.
Sure, they're...
Oh, I'm sorry, that's my pager. It's my boss again.
Is your life busy? Full of deadlines?
Don't worry, I'll call him later. Go on.
Should I come back?
Cell phone. It's my boss. No, go ahead.
Sales for the last quarter were...
You've got mail.
Hold on. It's my boss.
God told us in the Bible to be still and know that I am God. Putting him first will put the rest of your day in perspective. Have you taken time today to be still, to be quiet before God?
Frank.
Oh, Mr. Johnson. Sorry I didn't return your calls. I've just been working on that deadline.
I've been trying to tell you. I don't need that report until next week.
Oh.
Another message from Lifeline Productions, the comic strip of radio at lifelinepro.com.
Okay, very interesting. Okay, all right. You know, the song I played, I'll Be With You, by the Maranatha Singers, you know, the words are very encouraging. I'll be with you in joy and in pain. Your cry for mercy echoes my name. Now and forever, I'll be at hand. I'll be with you. I'll be with you, for that's who I am. I'll be with you, I'll be on your side. Your prayer for deliverance will not be denied. I will fight the battle that evil might wage. I'll be with you, I'll be with you till the end of the age. I'll be with you, now and forever I'll be at hand. I'll be with you, I'll be with you, for that's who I am. I'll be with you, for there's no need to fear. How can they harm you when I hold you dear? Your life is in my life, come perils or sword. I will be with you, I will be with you, for I am the Lord. I will be with you, for I am the Lord. Yeah. You know, so I've been talking about beyond the prayers and the fasting, some things we should take note of, you know. We pray, we fast, it's very good, no doubt about it. But sometimes some Christians will go through this, they've been doing it every year, sort of, but they just can't point to the fact that, oh, we did this and this happened, and it's as if they just do it as a ritual, but there's no benefit, they don't see anything significant. Sometimes by the year ending, they are even worse off than they even started the year. So it's as if God is not answering prayers. It's as if the prayers and fasting are of no use. They are in vain. But the issue sometimes is not about the fact that, oh, we didn't pray or we pray enough or we've not fasted enough. But it's about us. We have to also assess ourselves, the introspection. And last 2 weeks, I talked about the issue of time. Time factor, the time management of how believers can be very wasteful in time. And as you say, time is money and time is important and all, we all know. But we would pray and fast and yet waste the rest of the year and we'll look back and say that God didn't do anything for us, God didn't hear our prayers. But beyond the prayer and the fasting, we have a life to lead. Have a life to also live. We have to do what has to be done as humans, you know. So we can't also just waste time. You know, Paul wrote it effectively, redeeming the time, for the days are evil. Redeeming the time, because we just can't waste time and think it's fine, it's okay, there's nothing wrong with it. It's not okay, it's not right. We need to be conscious of time, the importance of time. And Christians, sometimes we think, oh, anything goes, we just do anything. Ephesians 5:15-16 says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Redeeming the time, using the time effectively, using the time wisely, not just wasting it on things that have no value, things that are just draining us. You know, and I like the way Colossians 4:5 even puts it, that walk in wisdom towards them that are without, redeeming the time. And this is also the reality. There are people who have no appreciation of time. They don't value time because they have no vision. They have no purpose in life. They have no goal in life. They are just existing. So they don't mind when they come into your space to just come and also waste time with, because no, they think you should be like them. So they don't have anything doing. They will just come and waste your time. But this is where the Bible says, walk in wisdom towards them that are without, redeeming the time. See, if you are able to identify that these people are not walking in wisdom in regarding how they are living their time and using their time and all that, you should then apply the wisdom on your side and know how to redeem the time regarding those people. Because some people will just waste your whole day, waste your whole time, and it's like, because they have nothing to lose, they don't see anything with you also wasting your time. But you can use your time more profitably for something more gainful. And, you know, at the end of the day, at the end of the year, when you look back and, oh, this year I fasted and prayed, and God didn't come through for me, God didn't do this, I asked God for this and this and that. But, you know, God is a principled God. So sometimes there are things we've asked him for, but we also have to do something. And then he adds on to it. There are also instances where we have to take the initiative, and then he will bless the work of our hands. We should do something, and then he will bless it. But, you know, oftentimes there are some who will just finish praying and sleeping and then go back to sleep and be lazy about life. So the yes, prayer and fasting is very active and very busy. Beyond that, he's just spending the rest of the time sleeping and relaxing. And yet the person is expecting God to open doors, God to bless him, God to do this, God to do that. And this person may have been doing it every year. It's a cycle. And nothing changes. And yet, this year will start, or perhaps I've started doing the same. And nothing will change if you don't change. Nothing will change if you don't change. You see, so these are the realities, some of the realities we should understand, that there is also a role for us to play. Beyond the fasting and the prayer, what else are we doing? What else are we doing beyond the fasting and the prayer? You know, It's something that's so important, because Christians, we like wasting time on a lot of useless things. A lot of useless things. And because of that, it's like, oh, God will do it. But then we should know where to draw the line and then not waste the year. It's very important. It's very, very, very important. And, you know, one of the things beyond the prayer and the fasting is moving on from time, is also the issue of our words. Our words. Christians can, some people can talk and talk and talk and talk. You finish praying and fasting, and then now, your words, oh, as for this year, dear, I don't think it will go well. Proverbs talks about the fact that death and life are in the power of the tongue. So you cannot finish praying and fasting for the year for God to do this and that, make all the big proclamations and everything by faith and everything, and then finish and then you are also saying negative words again. Virtually, it's like you set up fire and then now you take in water and you pour it on the fire. Don't expect anything to happen, like your prayers to be answered, because you cannot say one thing and then finish and you negate it with your own words again, negative words to counter, nullify the same prayers you've prayed. Because if you've prayed, then you should hold on to a positive confession. But you cannot finish praying and then go back and be saying negative words, negative complaints. People are complaining. That you're also complaining. Words are so powerful. Extremely powerful. And years back, the technology wasn't there. Now, there's enough technology for which neuroscience, they're able to measure things in the brain, activity in the brain, how people react to words and all those things. And it's amazing some of the research works about the brain and the power of words. The power of words, how people are reacting to it, positive words, reacting to it. Even there's this experiment done by, I've forgotten the name, a Japanese professor, who he documented it, where water has crystals. You can't see it with your eye directly, but when it crystallizes, like it freezes, you put water in a freezer, you can see the crystals and all that. He did experiments of water in which you put like two sets of water. So one jar, second jar. For one jar, he will say positive things, good words. The other jar is negative things, insults, curses, and all that. When they look under the microscope, the two are not the same. The one with the positive words, the crystals are nice crystal shapes. The one that had the negative words, he was speaking the negative words to. The formation of the crystals are deformed. So even the water reacted to the words. Two plants. One receives good messages. You are blessed. Oh, you are beautiful. You are this. You are this. You are lovely. And those plants, the plant that received a good affirmation and positive words was growing well. The same type of plants, the same water source, everything being watered, everything, nutrients, everything the same. Then the one that is being cursed, you are foolish, you are this, you are this, you are stupid, you are this, you are not beautiful, you are ugly, you are this, you are this, you are that. That plant started dying. And this has been proven scientifically. Even plants responding to words. And of course, Jesus spoke to a plant in Mark 11. He spoke to the fig tree and the fig tree died. Let me just read it for perhaps those who may not be aware of that or may have forgotten. Mark 11, 20. Yeah, let me start with. Okay, because of time, let me just start from where. So he said unto them, okay, from 17. No. Okay, then. And Peter, okay, 21, let me start from Peter. And Peter, calling to remembrance, said unto him, Master, behold the fig tree which thou cursest. You know, when Jesus was moving and there was no fruit on it and he cursed the fig tree. Yeah. So now they were coming back. And Peter remembered, said unto him, Master, behold the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. And Jesus answering, said unto him, have faith in God. 23, Mark 11, 23. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that whatsoever things he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. So Jesus spoke to a tree, and the tree died. And others have done it. They've done it under the conditions, comparing to one getting negative words, one getting positive words. And indeed, one dies, and the one that receives the good words didn't die. So words indeed are powerful. It's been scientifically proven. Words are powerful. So it means that we cannot be speaking negative words over our situations, over ourselves, and expect a positive result. No.
So it doesn't matter how well you fasted and prayed. If you finish and you are just going to be cursing yourself with negative words, it is going to nullify the prayer and the fasting you've made. So the year will end and you may even be worse off. These are the things you should take note of. These are the things you should be taking. Our words carry power. Our words carry power. You know, if you read the Mark 11 issue well, there are two things Jesus highlighted there. There is the element of prayer and there is the element of spoken words. So if you read the verse 23, "For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain," it didn't say to God about the mountain. It said you say to the mountain. So the situation, you speaking to the situation, it's not the same as you speaking to God about the situation. That's prayer. You talking to God about something is the prayer. But Jesus gave two instances here. You speaking to the situation directly, and then prayer as a second issue. So there is the element of we speaking to things ourselves. And this is what Jesus said. That whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have what he saith. So Mark 11:23 is not about prayer. It's about making a positive statement to a situation. You talking to the situation. Not talking to God about the situation. You are talking to the situation directly. This is what Jesus was talking about. In reference to talking to the tree as he did, Peter remembered him and he now made the statement. See, so two clear things. And then now he also now goes to the other part where he says, "Therefore I say unto you that whatsoever things ye desire, when ye pray." So there are two things. There are instances where we can speak to the situation, and then there's also the element where we pray to God about something. But either way, are we exercising this? For the prayer, yes, we are praying. Or we've prayed, as some will say, they've prayed beginning of the year. Okay, fine, it's good. But what about the situation? Are we saying positive things or are we saying negative things about the situation? So it should align. If you've prayed, then positive things should follow. Because we cannot be praying to God about a situation and then when we finish with God, we go and say something contrary to what is the reality about we saying the positive things. Then we are going to say negative things, which means you are nullifying the prayer because you cannot be saying two separate things to God. "Oh God, do this for me." And then when you finish this thing, it cannot be done. Oh, it's very difficult. Oh, it won't work. How do you expect God to do it for you? Don't forget, there is power in the words you say as well. And so these are things we should remind ourselves of. That yes, we are praying, we will fast, we will pray and all that. But beyond that, we should be careful about some things. And these are little things which some Christians out of ignorance on the part of some ignore. And then it eventually undermines the prayer that we do. So it's as if we've just wasted time in praying and there's nothing to show for it. So it's one. And then the next one before I finish off this evening is the discipline, the issue of discipline. If we pray and fast and we finish and we are not going to be disciplined for the rest of the year, then we are in trouble. Because without discipline, there are a number of things that without discipline you cannot do. You can't achieve it. If you don't discipline yourself, you cannot achieve some things. Because without discipline, laziness will be there. Without discipline, you cannot learn if you have to learn. Without discipline, you cannot do what you have to do. You know, there are a whole lot of things which without discipline will struggle. And discipline is the foundation upon which there are things that can be done and should be done. But if we lack discipline, then we'll waste time on social media, we waste time on unproductive things whilst we have the time that we could use to do something productive, something that will benefit us. We'll waste it because we are not disciplined enough. So we'll rather spend several hours. I'm doing some research, and the hours that people are spending a day on social media and these things, one day I'll talk about it. It's serious. And one of the statistics, Ghana is ranking very high. I said, whoa. You know, it's serious. So, but you see, without discipline, you'll be part of the statistics. It's like wasting the time. But you can do something productive with the time, that same time that is being wasted online on fruitless and wasteful things, that same time can be used for something more productive in life. You know, so discipline is so, so key. We need to be disciplined. This year, commit yourself to the fact that you are going to be disciplined, because without discipline, you not read your Bible. Without discipline, you cannot pray. Without discipline, you cannot do a whole lot of things, because it takes discipline to be able to follow the rule. I'll do it. I'll go here. I'll set this. I'll set that. I'll do this. Without discipline, you can't achieve much this year. So by the time December 31st, look back and it's like the year has been a wasteful year, just as in previous years, like the same cycle, because you are lacking discipline. And it's important we prioritize discipline in our lives. So, so important, because when we are disciplined, a whole lot of things align, because with discipline, you can be more productive. For some people, their only blessing is being more productive, and God will bless the work of their hands through that, because then whatever they are doing, they can do more, and they will sell more, and they will make more money. For some people, that's how their blessing will be. So it's about being more productive, and that's how God will bless them. So without discipline, somebody who has to be more productive will be less productive and will make less money. So discipline is key and it's important. And the next one that I'll quickly talk about is also the issue of friends or associations that we keep, the type of friends is so important. You know, this evening I was having a chat with a friend. He's in Accra. And, you know, we're talking about a lot of things. And, you know, there's this issue of someone. I also know the person. And a whole lot of issues and all. And so I made a comment to him that this person spoken to you about this issue, the story would have been different, completely different from what we are talking about now. But the person spoke to a wrong person who has no, let me put it this way, has no good knowledge about properties and all that. And through that, that person has lost opportunities, lost properties and all. But had this person spoken to this, my friend, who I was talking to, this friend would have given him sound counsel and sound advice that she would not have lost those things. So I was saying that talking to the right person is important. And it's true, because wise counsel will give you direction. There are some people who, if you talk to, they would throw you away on a different... They will just discourage you. They will give you wrong advice. And they will just waste your life. They will just, instead of saying go left, they will say go right. So instead of you going in a positive direction, you'll be going in the negative direction. So the type of friendship, the type of association, the type of people we talk to about things, we seek counsel from, is very important. Because if you get it wrong, It can really destroy a lot of things. Likewise, if you get it right, it can improve a lot of things. So that wisdom, having that wisdom to know who to talk to at the right time is very important. So beyond the prayer and the fasting, these are other things you have to be aware of, because you can pray and fast, but a wrong counsel from somebody, a friend or somebody, can land you in a serious trouble, or you can lose an investment. But wise counsel from someone can also multiply something in your life. You see, so yes, prayer is good, fasting is good, but beyond that, we need to make wise decisions. And sometimes wise decisions come from good counsel. People who can give us sound advice that would help us in a positive way. We need to be careful about some of these things. You see, there are some people which we go and talk to. That's the end. Your end. They will finish you. They don't know about the thing. They won't tell you they don't know, but they will give you wrong counsel. And that's it. So we need to walk in wisdom. We need to walk in wisdom to be aligned with the right people. It's all important. It's very important because, yes, beyond the prayer, other things should fall in place. Because you cannot be praying and then finish and you are working with wrong counsel. People who give you wrong counsel. People who discourage you. People who say negative things. And virtually make you feel even confused. All these things will go against you. So that's why beyond prayer, we need to align ourselves right. The decisions we take. Who do we seek counsel from? Where do we do, or where do we go left or right? Who is counseling you? Sometimes there are instances where decisions should be taken based on knowledge. Information is what can make a sound decision. You see, so if you don't get the person to give you that sound information, the decision that you take will be a bad decision. And these are the realities. Example, somebody, what course should I go and take? I want to do this course. What is it? Some courses now, I'll say it openly here. I won't mention the name of the courses, but I'll say it here on this program clearly that there are some courses that now, if you say you are going to do those courses, in the next few years, you've wasted your time and your money, because the next few years is bleak for those courses. Those professions are virtually dying off. So if it's now that you are going to waste time and money to go to school and learn them or learn that course, if you talk to the right person, he can give you counsel that no, master, as for this course, it's dying off. So this is not the time to waste money and time to go and study this. But if you don't talk to the right person and you go, when you're university admission, it's good. That's all. So because the person has no knowledge about that course, it's a good thing. So far as it's invested in anything. Then see, so this is why we need wisdom. We need the right counselors in our lives beyond the prayer and the fasting. Yes, we need people as well. And if we get it right, it helps us. So we'll end this part here this evening. Time is almost up. And I believe, yes, I have some messages. Let me quickly, Marley says, good evening. When we meet as Christians, nobody asks questions about the Bible. When you ask them a question too, nobody is able to answer. What you are saying is true. Many Christians are not reading the Bible. It's so sad. It's true. Mrs. Ampertum says, if you change and do the will of God, he'll open doors for you. Then we have Vic says, indeed, negative words nullify all prayers and faith confessions. More grace, okay, to you, my brother. Amen. Yeah, so that is it. So, let's end it here this evening. You know, the issue of the times we are in is such that if you are not careful, you'd see no importance in reading the Bible, as some people are just not seeing the need. And I remember some years, not too long ago, this friend, he's a pastor in Nigeria, and something we were chatting on, and he said that statement in passing, and it's like, hey, just said it was like a bomb. Shame, he said, hey, he said, well, why should I read the whole Bible? Why should I read the whole Bible? I mean, you know, I was taken aback when he made that statement. He says, it's not necessary. Why should I read the whole Bible? And this is a pastor. Why should I read the whole Bible? Eh? You see, so, I mean, this is the reality. When a pastor can tell you, why should I read the whole Bible? Then you know that we are in trouble. Mm. So, as for the Bible, people are not reading. So, please, let's do our best to read. So, good night and God bless you. This is Eben. And thank you for tuning in. Good night.